Yeah, I was working on a series on the Four Noble Truths before I left, and I kind of skipped over the third noble truth to make room for talking about the fourth noble truth, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. So I thought maybe tonight I could talk a bit more in depth about the third noble truth. And now just to refresh our memories, the Four Noble Truths are, the first one is that there is dukkha. Dukkha, often translated as suffering, but that might not be the best translation. Maybe unsatisfactoriness might be a better one. And then the second noble truth is there is the cause of dukkha, the unsatisfactoriness, which is craving. And then the third noble truth is that there's the end of dukkha, of the unsatisfactoriness, which is awakening or nibbana in Pali. And then the fourth is that there is the path leading to the end of this unsatisfactoriness, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Right. And then, so the last three times I talked about the first, the second, and the fourth noble truth, more in depth. And the Buddha, talking about those four noble truths, is often also likened to a doctor talking about an illness or a disease. The first truth, the dukkha, the unsatisfactoriness, is the illness. And then the second truth is the cause of the illness, which is craving. And then the third truth is that healing is possible, which is hopeful. We can heal from this illness, freedom from illness. And then the fourth truth is the way, how do we get free from this illness, this medicine, that leads to healing. And so today we're talking about that this healing is possible. And that's also kind of the end of the Buddhist path, this healing, this freedom. And how we get there, this path, this Noble Eightfold Path, I talked about that last time. And it's if we walk this path, then we gradually kind of chip away at this dukkha, at this unsatisfactoriness. We gain more and more happiness in our lives. And ultimately, we arrive at this end goal then, if we start chipping away at the dukkha. But what does this end goal actually mean? What does that look like? And ultimately, it means that that all of the suffering, all of the unsatisfactoriness, all of the unhappiness is uprooted. And I'll talk about that a bit more, and we'll see if I get to that today, but maybe I'll have to move most of this talk for next time, which is actually next week already. Because I first actually want to talk about this gradual process. So I want to go a little bit deeper into basically the path. And just like when we're ill and we take medicine, then it's not usually not that we're like better right away. Usually it's also this gradual process of getting better through the medicine. It's usually not instant, right? So two is that the healing from the dukkha is also this gradual process. It's not something that we can rush or we can force, but it's something to, you know, that we can put conditions in place for it to happen. And that is what happens when we walk this Noble Eightfold Path. We enter into this process of getting better and better, to use this metaphor of illness. And we keep chipping away at the dukkha. And it can feel like a really slow process sometimes, like not really feeling any progress here. But if we do keep going, then, you know, after several weeks or months or years, we can see the difference. We look back at how we started, even in like little things, noticing that you may be a little bit more kind towards yourself or towards others, or you feel a bit more compassion for beings that you didn't feel that much compassion for earlier. I remember I had a period in my life where I felt kind of annoyed at seeing homeless people, and slowly but gradually I actually started feeling compassion towards them. Like, feeling this deep felt heartfelt feelings towards homeless people. And yeah, that's a simple example of how your heart can change by just doing this practice, just practicing kindness and compassion. Or maybe you notice that you're a bit more equanimous in traffic, if you're like one of those people who always gets all riled up by other people in traffic. So, you know, things change for the better, and then it leads to what Lee Brazington, a teacher and meditation teacher, calls higher and higher quality samsara. That's what he calls it. Samsara being like this cycle of dukkha that we're in, basically. So if we engage with this path, then, you know, we gradually move towards this higher quality samsara, which is already great, actually. It's already a great way of living. And this, so just to summarize the Noble Eightfold Path, it is actually, if you look at it, it's really simple and concise way of talking about the Noble Eightfold Path, that it's about wholesome and unwholesome, cultivating the wholesome and abandoning the unwholesome. That's what a lot of the Eightfold Path factors basically come down to, and then it's very specified in different steps. And the Buddha also summarizes it in the Dhammapada. He says, doing no evil, undertaking the good, purifying one's mind, this is the teaching of the Buddhas. So, an interesting thing, Buddhas. So there's multiple Buddhas. We talked about this on Friday too. Like, there's been, according to Buddhist texts, there's been multiple Buddhas in the past. And there will be at least one more, according to the text, after this period. When we walk the path, we cultivate this wholesomeness, and we're doing no evil, undertaking the good. And in the process, we are purifying our minds from all unskillfulness and unwholesomeness. And that leads to this higher quality of samsara. And then Joseph Goldstein has also a phrase for it. He calls it worldly ease, which is another way of ease, worldly ease. And so there's another metaphor in the suttas, in the discourses of the Buddha, around walking this path, which is this of a gradual sloping ocean floor. So we're slowly but steadily kind of going deeper and deeper. And sometimes we might not even really notice it. It's so gradual. But slowly we're going deeper. So that's what we're doing. Slowly but gradually kind of healing ourselves through this path, walking this path. And in this way we start to enjoy a more happy and content life. A life in which there's just a little bit less dukkha with every step that we take. And this, we do this through seeing these patterns and conditionings that lead to dukkha. We start to see what leads to dukkha, what leads to unsatisfactoriness, unhappiness, and what leads away from it, what leads towards happiness. And when we do that, we gradually go deeper on this ocean floor. And then maybe, as you know, in some oceans, there's this reef, right? And the ocean floor just steeply drops off right away. The steep drop off, this can symbolize maybe awakening. So we gradually walk our path and we have no idea where we are on our way to the reef, and then boom, the reef is there and awakening is there. And so then we get to awakening, and now comes the part in the talk where I want to talk about awakening and about the third noble truth, but I'm thinking of maybe saving that for next week because of the time. It's already 8:41. Maybe I'll just start it off. So awakening or enlightenment sometimes is Nibbana in Pali, Nibbana. And describing this experience of Nibbana is not really possible. So the Buddha also had trouble describing it. He didn't really directly describe it. He had a lot of kind of metaphors sometimes, or maybe he described what it's not, or he said it's the abstinence of greed, hatred, and aversion, greed, hatred, and delusion. And some of the metaphors he used was like the island, or the truth, or the other shore, or freedom, simply. Sometimes the unconditioned, the unfabricated. And so, you know, these are just kind of vague kind of pointers. Still don't really get an idea of what it actually is, right? But that is because, you know, this cannot be described in words. It's something that transcends words. It's per definition not describable. But you might imagine just being free from greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed, hatred, and delusions are words that in Pali, in the Buddhist text, actually mean something much broader. So greed, the translation of greed, you know, is could mean anything from just this mild kind of wanting to, you know, this intense desire. Hatred could mean anything from this tiny little bit of irritation or frustration to, you know, the most intense hatred that we've ever felt. And delusion is kind of this confusion, this not knowing, this not clear seeing. So being free from all of that, being free from all of the roots of what causes suffering in our lives, what causes unsatisfactoriness. If we're completely free from that, that's what awakening is. So I'll stop there for today.